Madness. Madness in the NBA last night. Isn't it nice to have, like, meaningful basketball? Isn't it nice to actually have, like, you know, on your television set, or hell, even if you're even there, you see players caring, you see players putting out effort. There's defense, there's a flurry of points, there's meaningful coaching, there's actually meaningful basketball. It's awesome to see. You wait 82 games all through the regular season, and a lot of the players are either load management or saying, you know, even admitting they don't care about the regular season. You see just, you know, lackadaisy running up and down the court, no defense, just kind of wondering if it's even basketball. Traveling, fouls that are clearly fouls, or it's just like, what's going on around here? I'm watching this. This is what, and some people weren't even watching it. You know, some people are just like, oh, no, thank you. That's a pass for me. But then you go and see the NBA playoffs, and things are at a premium in the NBA playoffs, and we have the freaking drama, my friends. The drama is already dripping in the NBA. Last night was a lot of drama, so much in the fact that one team is going to file a grievance with the referees. You know, you don't get any of this in the regular season. Barely ever. Maybe once in a while. You get a couple here and there of some rivalry games, or, you know, like Giannis. Yeah, how many times have we brought this up when Giannis talks about, you know, getting that 64 points against the Pacers, and the Pacers took the ball because some guy at the end of their bench is not even on their playoff roster, got his first point in the NBA, and Giannis set a franchise record for points in a game for the Deer. And, you know, there's drama, I guess, once in a while along the way, but you got pure drama last night out of the NBA. 76ers and Knicks, start right there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable as the Sixers just choke. Knicks get it done. Wild finish to the game. Unbelievable. As the 76ers now are going to, first Nick Nurse, Sixers coach, is saying that the referee's ignoring him when he's trying to call a timeout before the disaster that ensued with the Philadelphia 76ers. They're going to now go into the file a grievance. Nick Nurse saying that they're ignoring him when he's calling timeouts. In case you missed it, there's 41 seconds left in the fourth, and the 76ers were up 101-96. And it just got wild after that. The New York Knicks, I'm going to play it, and you guys can just listen. Madness ensues in the NBA. The New York Knicks have a furious late rally. Sixers choke, and they can't even help themselves. Joel Embiid's like crying afterwards in the locker room. He's got his head down when he look at the reporters. Looks like he's trying to eat a secret hot dog in his sleeve as he's saying they should be up 2-0 and they're going to win this series. Well, they're down 0-2 because it sounded like this with 41 seconds left as they're down by 5.
Back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo.
Oh,
8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in!
Big bounce off the rim, dunked in.
Two-point game.
Inbounding.
Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
The Hart. So that was going to be the dagger there for the 76ers. Knicks just furious on the offensive boards, furious on the defense. Sixers implode. They go into win. Nick Nurse crying. Going to go have a grievance with the referees of the NBA. LOL. Too funny. And then later on, and the other game was some drama. LeBron James and the Lakers, they're winning. They're up by 20 points. 20 points. The Nuggets come back from down 20 to beat LeBron James and the Lakers. And it was hilarious. Jamal Murray just gets it done with the dagger. I'm going to play it for you as, again, more drama in the NBA.
LeBron and AD on the two best players.
LeBron's got the ball right now, dribbling the court.
So they can switch.
Murray's got 12 here in the fourth. Defender falls. LeBron three. Rebound by Porter.
LeBrick James.
Timeout, real time.
I love it. Don't call it.
tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. There's a
raucous crowd, dude.
The Nuggets have won!
LeBron walking off. Anthony Davis all pissed off, who disappeared, by the way, in the second half. Big old dog pile for the Nugs. And then after the game, speaking of the drama, Anthony Davis comes to the mic. And he does I think he perceived it to be cool. It's a drop the mic moment. He's wearing these John Lennon, Bugs Bunny, Elton John, all combination sunglasses. And he comes to the podium. He goes up there to talk about the game, says one thing, drops the mic.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
And then walks away.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
That's the sound of the mic dropping. And he walks away. I'm like, did you think that was cool? Was that cool? No? Okay. All right, Bucks tonight. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo listed as doubtful. Just like last game, listed as doubtful. Then about an hour before the game, he listed as out. You know, Doc Rivers doesn't want to, you know, say he's out for the series or out for the game. Want to, you know, play a little, I guess, chess, not checkers, maybe. But Giannis listed as doubtful tonight. You know, it's all going to take the team effort again. I don't think Dame's going to be scoring 35 and a half. I hope he does. That'd be sweet. But, you know, Dame's got to step up. Chris Middleton got to step up. Bobby Portis got to step up. You know, Brooke Lopez got to step up. You name it. Everyone just got to have their defined roles and do it at their best like they did game one. Game two tonight at 7:30, Bucks Pacers. All right, Angel Hernandez is taking it on the chin because he stinks as an ump.
He's just horrible.
He stinks. He's bad.
Uh-oh, I froze.
Oh, freaking. Angel Hernandez taking it on the chin. The ump yesterday for Yankees and A's, he really wanted to make it about himself. That was the only game going on. It started at 12:05. And then right away, I'm like, I got home early, and I'm like, ooh, a little baseball on TV, I'll watch. And immediately, Aaron Boone, manager for the Yankees, ejected. Now, the ump was feisty, man. He was feisty. And he had warned Aaron Boone that if you say one more thing, I'm tossing you out of the game. And then there's a fan sitting
directly behind
him. And the fan had some words to the umpire. Here, I'll just play the audio here. I had to edit it. So take a listen. Here you go.
Is the first base umpire call?
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check.
Stop right. That's the ump yelling.
Yeah.
That's the ump yelling at Aaron Boone. So, and then you'll hear Aaron Boone kind of come into the clip here about halfway through.
The first base umpire call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm going to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay.
So Aaron Boone just standing there doing nothing.
Wow. You know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Aaron, you're done.
There you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
This whole time, his mouth.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
So Aaron Boone's losing his mind. He just got tossed from the game. He literally was just standing there doing nothing. Some fan behind him yelled, I don't know what he yelled, but he had something at the ump.
Yeah.
And then goes, you're out of here!
And Aaron Boone's like,
I didn't say an effing thing!
Not one more peep.
And then he got tossed. And the umpire was just, he was feeling himself.
He was.
You know, he made the show about him.
That's the ump show.
It's the ump show. And Aaron Boone then took to the podium afterwards. There's a whole news clip on it. I'm gonna play it. It's just about a minute and a half long. Take a listen.
The first batter of the game reached base after he was hit by a Carlos Rodon pitch. Boone thought he may have swung his bat first, so he started chirping from the dugout. Umpire Hunter Windelstadt quickly shuts that down.
You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
As you can see, Boone complies and stays silent, but Windelstadt throws him out anyway.
And you're done.
There you go.
Understandably, the Yankee skipper is apoplectic. Boone defends himself vigorously, claiming someone behind the Yankee dugout was yelling at the ump. And when we look at this angle, we see exactly what happened. Look at the fan in the blue shirt. But Wendelstedt doesn't care.
I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is it's embarrassing.
So there.
And by the way, the Yankees lost
to the A's.
2-0 yeah. to the A's, and Otis is here. Did Boone's reputation have anything to do with this today?
Oh, well, he has earned the ejections before. I mean, he's up to 35. He's 48th on the all-time list as far as ejections by managers. But today, awesome. He certainly did not earn it. And he said after the game that he does not believe that his reputation mm-hmm. fed into this decision.
This is
he
CBS
says that
New
he has
York,
great relationships. He knows that he gets loud from time to time and that he's earned those ejections. But today, he would have had to have been a ventriloquist because his lips did not move. He did not say anything.
Yeah. So you got to wonder if Major League Baseball is going to look at.
Well, he's definitely going to appeal this. He's going to talk to Major League Baseball.
What are these umps, dude, are just, what is with these umps? Like, I feel like it's been just a snowball year after year after year of these umps. Angel Hernandez is you know, the number one culprit. But this guy here, throwing
Cox,
someone out.
162 ejections.
That's a man right there. Throwing someone out because a fan had chirped something. I was watching this yesterday. I was like, what the hell's going on? Yeah, baby. No, I'm always having good days. But when I get to talk to this guy, it becomes a great day. Our sports director, Zach Heilprin. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Evo. How's it going?
It was good. Now it's great. It's a great day to be alive.
Fantastic. That's amazing. Love it.
I'm not pushing any daisies. We're good, baby.
Not yet.
Not yet. I will eventually, but not yet. Hey, Zach.
Where are you going? Where are you going on vacation?
New Orleans. NOLA.
What day are you leaving?
Friday morning at 6 a.m. from the beautiful Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Oh, you guys got to drive down there again. Well, that's fine. That's a good weekend. That's a good, I shouldn't say weekend, a little five-day vacation. Yeah. Good.
And I'm going to preemptively thank you for filling in Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. RJ's ready to go, too. So thank you so much, Zach. It's very appreciated. I'll bring you back something nice from NOLA.
Friday morning. People are going to be either extremely happy or extremely pissed. That's just the way. You don't really have any one. It's either extremely mad, extremely happy with Packers first round. It's usually you don't get a lot of milquetoast takes on that.
By the way, love the word milquetoast. Okay, if they get Cooper DeJean, I think everyone would be happy, yes?
I think people will be jazzed. If they take an offensive lineman, I don't know. Because it's just like, it's not fun. People want fun.
Well,
they haven't necessarily gone fun a ton in the first round. I can't wait for Friday morning. I love draft reactions because it's just so ridiculous. But the Packers have knocked it out of the park the last 2 years. So people maybe will give Brian Gutekunst a little bit of some leeway if he doesn't make the pick that they love.
But and Goody, we trust, right?
I mean, that's my motto, but I don't know that that's everybody's motto.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the podium yesterday, so we'll have to play some of that audio from Goody on the podium.
Yeah,
you know, he was
Goody on the podium.
Yeah, when you got a guy in a suit and tie and he's on a podium in front of media, they never really are truthful, I would say. It's always milquetoast answers.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good use of the word.
Yeah, there you go. I love that word. Zach, what's the word for, because you're heading down right now to some more spring ball. It's almost over. What is this, practice 10?
11.
Practice 11.
Oh, nice, RJ.
Got it.
11.
11 of 15.
How's spring ball looking?
I've been following on the camp.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, RJ.
My favorite podcast.
Good teammate. going well. I don't know. Spring ball is always tough because what exactly are they trying to accomplish? Are they trying to figure out who's going to be starting, you know, outside linebacker? What are they trying to accomplish? And Wisconsin, at least in this spring, has been trying to accomplish is not necessarily trying to find those guys like who's going to be starting, but trying to build depth and trying to find who guys are 1A and 1B, like that type of thing, as opposed to locking in starting positions. And spring ball in the past has been a little bit about that, but it's really about finding who's going to potentially in the fall. And I think if that's the goal, they've started to kind of figure out some of the guys that will be able to do that.
Hey, Zach, before I ask you quick on the new transfer that the Badgers got on the offensive line, are the Badgers going to have a spring ball game?
They will not.
They're not.
They do not have a spring
game. How am I going to get my old Dutch chips?
Good question. You mean all the leftover chips that nobody else wanted?
No spring game?
The flavors were left a little bit to be desired there. I felt like that was a bunch of chips that nobody wanted, so they gave them away.
Was it like sea salt and vinegar?
Original?
I like original.
Original is actually pretty good.
My favorite's original.
Yeah, so I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was ones that I've never seen actually sold in a store.
Jalapeno?
So, RJ, as I said, I don't remember.
So no spring ball game. Wow.
If you want to keep asking, we can do that. No spring ball game because Camp Randall is still under renovation. Not renovation, but the field's being replaced. They're putting a heating thing underneath the field, and they don't want to put the field back on top until after graduation. So
how am I supposed to freak out if Tyler Van Dyke throws five interceptions like Tanner Mordecai did?
Well, luckily, you're not going to have to do that. Yeah. So they are going to, I know that they are planning to open up a practice in fall, so people will be able to come down and watch the team there. But yeah, unfortunately, no spring game per se in terms of like having people and all that good stuff.
Wow.
Speaking of the field, have you heard have there been any announcements on a timeline on that, when that's supposed to be finished?
I think they're pretty much done installing it. Okay. I think they're just waiting to, because I saw some pictures and it's not like they're digging down inside anymore right now. So gotcha. Looks like it's got a top on it. Now maybe they're just waiting to after graduation to.
I just got a tweet right here. Our guy Beers and Tacos says no spring game. We need to riot. Wow,
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, where I don't know where people want it.
I think he's a fan of the old Dutch chips, some Pepsi.
Yeah, we found another one. There was some thought that maybe they'll do it at Edgewood, but they have, because they were supposed to potentially practice a few times at Edgewood, and they have not done that so far.
Neighborhood would be pretty pissed.
No lights.
Not saying that they won't, but there's only two Saturdays. I mean, there's only one Saturday practice left. So it feels unlikely that's going to end up happening. But
hey, Zach, that's disappointing for some people, you know, especially if you want to get the kids out, take a picture of Bucky. Zach, what's the skinny on this new transfer from Vanderbilt that the Badgers got on the O-line?
A guy that has not played a ton of football, but is familiar with offensive line coach A.J. Blazek. He played for him at Vanderbilt the last 2 years. Had a pretty good offer list coming out of high school, out of Florida. He also had actually an offer from Cincinnati when these guys were at Cincinnati. So there's some familiarity there as well. Wisconsin needs depth on the offensive line. Their first team line is fine. If they stay healthy, they'll be all good. But if they run into some injury-wise, they've got a lot of inexperience behind their first team unit. And that is obviously not ideal at that position. So they need depth, and they need older depth. And I think Leighton Nelson kind of gives that to them a little bit. I also don't think they're done in the transfer portal and adding depth to the offensive line. They have walk-ons and true freshmen in their 2D. And that isn't necessarily something built for success in the Big Ten.
So depth. Okay, depth. I like that. Zach.
He's not coming in to start. Right, like they're not counting on him to come in and play a bunch of football. I think he's kind of a safety net, and he's still got 3 years of eligibility left.
Zach, on the basketball side of things, by the way, Zach Halpiner, our amazing fountain of Wisconsin sports knowledge, sports director, joining us right now. He's on his way to spring ball. Zach, you had one of my favorite Twitter accounts in all of Twitter is at Zach Halpiner. It is premier. Zach, you had tweeted something out 9 hours ago. I'm going to read it, and I need your response to it. This is your tweet. This isn't a leaked audio bad offseason for the Badgers, but if things don't change, it will be. 4 scholarship players, 2 starters, out the door and coming up empty on your top transfer targets. Add in what happened in February and the no-show in the NCAAs. Not great, Bob. Zach.
Good tweet, not great, Bob.
Well, that was the GIF, depending on how you
say it. Yeah.
Zach, what's going on with Badger basketball? Because like I see other teams like Connor Sejan just inked up with Nebraska. How come Wisconsin hasn't had anything yet?
Yeah, it feels like a lot of teams have had it, and Wisconsin has just lost. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody was expecting them to retain A.J. Storr. We knew that Gus Yaldin was kind of going to be going out the door as well, and Connor Sejan, based on his playing time, it also felt very, very sure that he was going to end up going out. But losing Chucky Hepburn was a huge, huge hit. And when you go, when you lose a guy like that, a guy who's got a freaking Badger tattoo on, and I know it's transactional, I know it's money-wise, but that's still something that you have to, it's still something you have to at least acknowledge. You're expecting them to go and make a splash in the portal, and they have not. They have, they missed on Frankie Fiddler, largely because Chucky Hepburn's not here. They missed on Tyrese Hunter, who ended up, the point guard from Texas, who's from Wisconsin, ended up going to Memphis, and they missed on a guy who you thought was going to be like almost a shoo-in after Duke, after his Duke visit didn't go through, Brandon Angel from Stanford, a guy that you recruited throughout high school, you had a good relationship with and all that stuff. And then he ends up taking a trip to Oregon over the weekend and committing there. It's not great, Bob. At this point where, and again, things will change. There's more guys in the portal. They've got, another week plus here before the portal closes, so other guys could go in terms of like potential other targets. But as it stands, this offseason's been a disaster. Like they have not gotten better in any sense whatsoever. They've gotten worse. Off a team that went, what did they do in February? And outside of 3 days in March were pathetic, down, for all of February. And then outside of 3 days in the Big Ten tournament, a no-show in the NCAAs, it's been the absolute opposite of what they needed this offseason to be for Greg Gard. Because we all know that it feels like that seat is warm, and I would say it's certainly not gotten any cooler over the last month, since the NCAA tournament. It's probably gotten warmer. And again, this isn't all his fault, right? Like some of these teams and the money that they're able to offer up front is not necessarily something Wisconsin has either been willing to do or wants to do. And that is just not the atmosphere that anybody is playing in right now. And it feels like people are operating at a different level than Wisconsin in the NIL market. It's not like once you get to Madison, you're going to be taken care of, but it's the upfront money that I think is sometimes lacking for the Badgers right now. And that's not necessarily a Greg Gard problem, but it is it's not because of Greg Gard necessarily, but it's certainly a Greg Gard problem that he has to overcome. And so far they've not been able to overcome it.
Zach, last thing for you. I got a bunch of messages over it on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I think. And then I saw people on Twitter freaking out, like on your tweet that I just read. We just got a question here about it on Twitch. Like, well, why did they extend Greg Gard then? Why did they give him an extension? And I'm like,
they didn't.
This happens every year. Like, the Board of Regents meets, and they just it's a formality thing, right? It's always just like, here's another extension. Like, that's just what they do, right?
It's a 1 year rollover extension.
Yeah.
It is only news if you don't get the extension, right? Like they keep the contracts at 5 years. Every single coach contract, these winter coaches, they all got the same thing. They're all still on for another 5 years. Like, that's just the way that Wisconsin does business. And so they did not give Greg Gard an extension. It's not like he got a raise or like his buyout changed or anything like that. His buyout's the exact same, and it's a big number. I mean, it's $12 million right now. It's going to be $12 million after next season. It goes down the next year to, I think, $8 million, and then after that it's $4 million. So there is That is the number that I think truly matters. It's not necessarily the years when it comes to Greg Gard.
It's funny because every time this happens, people just freak out about it. It's like, I thought you were a Badger fan. Like, people should know this by now. It's like,
it happens every spring.
Yeah, and every spring people freak out about it. It's like, well, this is just a formality. Like, this is what happens.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah. Not great. On their part.
Well, Zachy, thanks for your time. I know you're about to park that, that ride of yours and get ready for spring ball number 11, baby. Strap in.
Yes, will do. Strapping in currently.
Well, for you, I guess strap out of the car.
He's got to get out of the car.
Get your butt there, okay, buddy?
think he's already there.
All right.
All right.
Just pulled in.
We love you, Zach. Thanks for your time.
Later, guys.
See you, bud.
Bye.
Zach Halpern, our sports director. Yesterday, also, I wanted to get into this. Brian Gutekunst, Packers GM, Goody, putting the final touches in that war room of theirs as the NFL draft is this Thursday. We've made it, folks. We're almost there. Detroit's going down for the NFL draft. And I was looking here around, and Brian Gutekunst was on the podium yesterday. We'll get to some audio for him momentarily. I was looking at CBS Sports, and they're talking about, you know, each team's most ideal pick in round one. Now, obviously, the Bears, the number one, you know, that via the trade with the Panthers, we all know and assume it's going to be Caleb Williams, you know, the latest and greatest savior for the Chicago Bears. You know, he stands alone as, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, the only college quarterback since 2000 to throw 300-plus passing touchdowns, run for 10-plus tutties while throwing five or fewer interceptions in multiple seasons. You know, no one in college football had more total touchdowns than Caleb Williams, 120 during the span of his collegiate career. Chicago set him up with some weapons, right? You got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen now. Maybe they get another quality pass catcher in round one of the draft. And then, you know, coming in at number two, the Washington Commanders. Now, they're kind of undecided on a quarterback. They hosted four at one time last week. They had North Carolina's Drake May, LSU's Jaden Daniels, Michigan's J.J. McCarthy, Washington's Michael Penix Jr. Got that big Penix energy. But for CBS Sports, like, they're like, dude, they want Caleb Williams, though. You know, they would clearly much prefer the Bears to select Drake May or, you know, Jaden Daniels first overall, which then allow them to get, you know, the D.C. native and Caleb Williams. Not going to happen, dude. So Caleb Williams, outside of barring some just complete madness, which I don't think we all foresee. Caleb Williams will be going to the Bears. We'll see what the Commanders do at number two. You know, the Patriots, they got Drake May. Patriots, though, fielding a bunch of phone calls. So the Vikings were maybe in the mix of, you know, getting up in the draft, getting themselves a quarterback because Sam Darnold ain't it for the Minnesota Vikings. So Drake May pegged as, you know, the best fit for the Patriots. The Cardinals looking at Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, get that nice pass catcher. That dude's a phenom. Hell, we had a caller calling yesterday, Brad from Marshfield. He said, how about the Packers trade up and go get themselves Marvin Harrison Jr.? You know, how much can you trust a guy, Mr. Glass, with the hamstrings, and Christian Watson? I don't know, but we'll hear from Goody in a second here. But Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv, dude's a generational talent, right? Let's see here. Let's go down a little bit. You know, Packers, 11 picks overall, 25th in the first round. Packers, I mean, hell, they can just about do anything that they want to do with all that draft capital. Everything they want to do is there in front of them. Probably be an unsexy pick. I'm thinking like a lineman for the Packers. How often do they go sexy with that first round? It doesn't happen. But CBS Sports, and this would make a lot of people happy. CBS Sports going with this. The most ideal pick at number 25. Cooper DeJean, the phenom, Iowa. Unanimous All-American. Allowing zero touchdowns on 374 covered snaps last season. Now, he did, you know, bust his leg. He's back, though. His pro day was phenomenal. People just gushing over Cooper DeJean. He can, you've got, you know, versatility, too. Line up all over the secondary. DeJean was mostly an outside corner for Iowa in 2023. 614 snaps for Pro Football Focus. I'll spend some time at nickel. 23 snaps, strong safety, 22 snaps. Even lined up along the edge of the defense line, 27 snaps, as well as free safety at one snap there. Here's a little blurb. DeJean would be a strong addition to a new defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley, the aggressive defense that promises to use more man coverage and blitz concepts than Joe Barry did. You know, lining up opposite two of the Pro Bowl cornerback and Jair Alexander, and new Packers safety Xavier McKinney could add even more juice to that secondary for the Green Bay Packers. So Goody on the podium yesterday. And again, it's when you get a guy in a suit and a tie, and he's got a mic in front of him on the podium, he's got a bunch of media surrounding him in the front, how often are they ever going to tell you the truth? I mean, that goes for, you know, sports, politics, you name it. You get a guy flapping his gums, moving his lips, take it with a grain of salt. Milk toast answers, if you will. Well, Goody was talking about it. Goody was asked, you know, the Packers draft board, is it ready to go? Well, I sure hope so for Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really through this past weekend, we kind of got to a point where you know, we feel really good about where it's at. We'll probably have one more, you know, meeting this evening and lock it up really till Thursday. There's work to be done between now and then, and things to do with, as far as guys changing on the board. I wouldn't expect that.
I would love to be in that war room, man. That'd be awesome to see. It's like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. Or Charlie Day in Always Sunny in Philadelphia in the mailroom with Sylvie DePepe. Just going loser's mind, going crazy over the what-if scenarios. Goody was talking about, too, you know, the top 30 visits.
Is it really subterfuge to it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure. You have no interest. Make sure you get that out there. Yes. 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 Yeah, I mean, sometimes. I mean, yeah, I think it's, yeah, we've been fortunate enough to pick a little later in the first round and most of the drafts that I've been a part of here. And so I don't know how much of that comes into play. You know, I think certainly if you're maybe picking higher in the top 10 and things like that, maybe that has more to do, you know, may have more value. Who knows?
Goody goes on to say, what kind of safety does he want to see next to Xavier McKinney? You know, strong safety up in the box or free safety with speed to cover deep? Here's the GM.
Yeah, now for me, those guys, I'd love to be interchangeable. You know, I'd like them to be able to do everything. I think that really is tough on an offense when those guys can move down inside, they can play the post, they can go in the nickel and cover. I think when you have two guys that can do everything, it'll allow Jeff to be much more efficient, so to speak.
That'll be Jeff Hafley, the new Packers DC. Now on Cooper DeJean, Goody was asked, what does he think of him, man? This Iowa phenom, his pro day, was just turning all kinds of heads. Dude can do a lot of things. What does Goody think? Can he play corner? Safety?
I think he can do both. I think he's very versatile that way. You know, I think he's obviously a very good athlete. His ability to take the ball away is very impressive. Obviously, he's got some team's ability as well. So he's a very well-rounded player. I think he could do either. I think it's really going to come down to just, you know, where you may need him.
Yeah, Mike in Portage on Twitch says, I think DeJean is worth Green Bay using some other picks to trade up in the first round and get him. The question is he going to be there at 25? I mean, all those quarterbacks could go right away. People talk about all those, you know, the top four quarterbacks going big in the draft and, you know, benefit the Packers. You know, there's always madness. There's always craziness. There's always something that comes out of left field. And you're like, whoa, I did not see that coming for the draft. Goody Kunz is also talking about potentially on trading back, risking losing players like last year when they traded down and, traded down twice before taking Jaden Reed and some other players. Here's Goody on the potential of trading back.
Yeah, whenever you trade back, you have to expect to lose, you know, the players that, you know, that are on the board that you might be willing to pick at that spot. It's just, that's part of it. I think it's why we, you know, we work so hard at getting the value right of the players on the board, is so that you can read it. And if you feel that it's strong and you can move back and still get, you know, someone you have the same kind of value on, you do. I think you got to be very careful of falling too in love with individual players. You know, I mean, that's just, I think you got to be careful of that. I mean, you have to be, I think, a little bit, you know, you have to think of these things not emotionally, but just kind of like, hey, we do a lot of work to try to get this value right. If the board is telling us we can move back, then we will, you know.
And when it comes to emotion, hell, we've seen Brian Gutekunst not have any really emotion, especially for all-timers for the Green Bay Packers. He's been cutthroat, i.e. look at Aaron Rodgers. No emotion there. That was, dude, you're done. It's over. Even before that, drafting Jordan Love. And Rodgers coming off that suspect year. And Goody's like, I got to look for the future, man. And if a GM isn't looking out for their future, then you got a bad GM. So Goody is showing that he does not get emotional with you know, some players and also picks. Now, offensive line help. He was talking on bigger tackle prospects and was asked, you know, some of these guys are big boys, right? Can being like a 6'8" guy be a negative on the line? Here's Goody.
Yeah, bigger, faster, stronger is always, you know, certainly something, you know, that's enticing to us. I think, again, the ability to play the game. We do some things in our run game thing that are maybe a little different than some teams. So there's some schematics in there that maybe certain guys fit a little bit more than others. But at the same time, we do everything. So, you know, they got to be, you know, I think the one thing, if one of the things we've done pretty good with our offensive line in the past has been versatile enough that guys can play inside, play outside. They're not just kind of one position players. And I think we'll probably try to continue that as we go forward.
Yeah, draft upcoming. Now, Brian Gutekunst comes from the Ted Thompson tree. Old Teddy, RIP, man. The Silver Fox himself to the great draft stage to the sky. Ted Thompson, what was his big, big motto?
In a perfect world, you'd be able to draft and develop and keep your own players.
Draft and develop. Now, this comes from a couple years ago. Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst were remembering Ted Thompson. You're talking about the Nick Collins pick. You know, Jordy Nelson's buried on their draft board. They did a little remembrance a couple years ago about Teddy. Take a listen.
I don't want to give too many secrets away because we certainly continue to do some of those things. But he would bury guys on the draft board that he really, really liked. And he knew that when draft day came that they would be two or three rounds higher than where they sat all spring long. And for those of us that had been around for a while, that was always our goal, was to figure out which one of those players were there. And I think a great story for me, I think the first time that I really pegged it was Jordy Nelson. And we kept watching tape and kept talking about how good this player was, and he never would move him. And that's when all of a sudden it's like, okay, I got it. And, you know, which made me really surprised when we traded back out of the first round, because I knew how much he coveted Jordy. And but I think he knew that what he was doing, and he knew he could get the player that he wanted all along. But he always had, and you know, two or three guys every year that he kept buried, I think was just for him. And but he, in my opinion, is the best talent evaluator, especially when it comes to the draft, that I've ever seen or been around. He just had a very unique way of seeing what a player was going to become and the greatness he could become. And there's a thousand players that, you know, but like Nick Collins comes to mind. I mean, I scouted Nick Collins at Bethune-Cookman, and that's a very small school. And Ted, identifying the greatness that was in a guy like Nick Collins, that's not at an Alabama or a Power Five school. I think he had a rare ability to do that, and not many people that come through our league have that.
Yeah, Goody from that Ted Thompson tree, but he does something that Ted Thompson really didn't, as get free agents. And Goody's been really good at getting free agents. Hell, look at what the Packers just did. Xavier McKinney, little Josh Jacobs, you know. A little more on Ted Thompson. Theodore, who is indeed
a heck of a football man.
Mark Murphy talks about what he respected about him.
Obviously, he was willing to make difficult decisions. He knew that was part of his job. But I always remember, you know, whenever a player would have a bad play or something would go wrong, and, you know, everybody wants to scream and yell, and Ted would say, you know, he always had this calmness to him. He's like, well, you know, listen, gotta be patient. He's a good player, and you know, you look at it, his history was he was willing to give players time, and boy, it sure paid off over the years. And a lot of it was just his personality that, you know, he was always looking for the good in people. And, yeah, I think we all just learned so much being around him, just the way he handled himself, and particularly the humility really, really stands out.
And then Gutekunst talks, you know, the Packers scouting department, what makes them better than most in the NFL. Here's Goody.
Well, first of all, we got a great staff. The people that are in that department are, you know, top notch, right? So, I think if we have any edge, and there's really good scouting departments throughout this league. I mean, it's very competitive. But the one thing that I lean on is the fact that we've had a long term process here for a long time that has not only had success here, but it's had success other places. We believe in that process very, very much. And we have a lot of guys who have been grown up in that process. And, you know, it's they're very knowledgeable of it. So it's not like, you know, it's not their first, second year within this. They've been doing it a long time and doing it within this process. So if we have an edge, I mean, that's what I feel it is, you know. And I'm sure there's 31 other teams that feel the same way about their process. But you know, whether it goes back to Ron and Ted and all the different people that have left here and had success other places, we just have a lot of confidence in that. So if, you know, but again, I think it comes down to boots on the ground and guys working and you know, putting that effort in.
Much like in Ted, we trust. Now in Goody, we trust. He's been phenomenal in what he's been able to accomplish here in this Packers, you know, team, just building a roster. And we do it all over again starting on Thursday, man. Can't wait for the NFL draft. Going to be friggin' awesome. Going to be great. Oh, the Brewers. The frontline starting pitching is, that's a big question, right? Took another hit Joe Ross got a little touched up before. I know Freddie Peralta's the man. Colin Ray, no disrespect here from Colin Ray. He's been dealing as well. Outside of that, you're left scratching your head a little bit. Wade Miley. Oh, no. And this has kind of been his bugaboo, right? Just if he could stay healthy. Last go-around, Wade Miley got a rocket right off the bat of Manny Machado to his kneecap. X-rays came back negative, so that was fine. But, you know, you're going to be a little gun-shy when you're back on the mound after getting a 117-mile-per-hour rocket to your leg. Well, now Wade Miley is on the 15-day IL, not because of Manny Machado's liner, because of left elbow inflammation. So we already got and that's not good. You know, Tobias Myers was recalled in a corresponding move. Not good for Wade Miley. Miley says he's trying to fight back, you know, the negative thoughts in his head. He says he doesn't want to be concerned, but, you know, he's got ugly thoughts creeping in his head that it could be the end for him. He's trying not to take himself there right now, being a tough mental spot. Yeah, he'd say, I don't know if I'm willing to go through something like this, and hopefully it's nothing bad to an extent. But like I said, without imagining, we won't know. So Miley's had a lot of injuries in recent years. Only twice getting to 125 innings since 2017. Now in 2022, he missed time both due to elbow inflammation and a shoulder strain in his throwing arm, just 37 innings. He did got up to 120 in the third last year, but also missed time due to a lat strain and, again, some elbow discomfort. He started the season on the IL due to a shoulder impingement, came back at two starts, now back on the IL again. And that's a blow to that starting pitching. That's tough. And that is always the concern for Wade Miley. I have a clip I wanted to play. Here's Wade Miley talking. Also was dealing with bone spurs plenty in the past, but the pain in his elbow, he says, feels different this time around.
Haven't had a good day of catch since. Thought it was getting better. You know, some of the swelling got out of there. Threw a little bit yesterday, wasn't great, and then tried to go throw today. It's kind of the same deal, so just hopefully can take some time and get it figured out. Spent the whole spring working on the shoulder. Got it feeling pretty good. Now this pops up. Seems like, I mean, I feel like I'm trying to do everything I can to stay on the field, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I'll pause it there. He's pretty emotional in front of the locker room, man. He's, you can hear in his voice, and I'm looking at the clip, and he's just, he looks sad.
Imaging on it?
Yes, I'm going to get imaging in the morning. Yeah.
So. Do you have any information of, like, just off of feel, the severity of the inflammation?
Not really. I think that's why I think the imaging is going to hopefully help tell. It's a little different than I've felt in the past. I mean, I've dealt with elbow stuff for the last 5 years. This is a little different. I mean, I still feel what I used to feel, and they've got some added pressure in there. So hopefully it's just inflammation pushing around on the nerve that we can get it out of there and be fine. But just, we got to start with an imaging just to check all the boxes.
You dealt with some bone spurs recently, right? Was that last year?
Yeah, for the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, that's kind of normally the pain I deal with.
Is it different pain?
Yeah, it's a little different this round. Same idea. I think I'm thinking it's just more information from the bone spurs, and it's just moving around in my elbow a little bit. Hopefully nothing too serious, but like I said, until we get some more information, it's really hard to say.
Is it, I mean, elbow, you know, everything now with elbows too, what is your concern level? Are you concerned about it, or?
It's a new irritation, so it's like, I don't know.
I'm gonna pause right there. A new irritation. He doesn't know.
I don't know. I don't want to be concerned. Yeah. I mean, obviously the ugly thought probably ends it for me. So I'm trying not to think to take myself there right now. I don't know if I'd be willing to go through something like that, and I'm hoping it's nothing to that extent. But like I said, without everything, we won't know.
Yeah, that's not good. Wade Miley really emotional there in front of the locker. Hey, see a little. I don't want to say tears welling up in the eyes, but it's emotional right there for Wade Miley, as you know, he's talking about having the thoughts creeping on the back of his head. Could it be the end? That's tough. And also yesterday, this Also not good for the Brewers. Brewers pitcher Jacob Junis was hit in the neck by a ball during batting practice yesterday at PNC Park, and he was down on the field, not moving for a while. Well, he was down for about 20 minutes. They called the ambulance, and Junis was loaded into the ambulance, taken to the hospital after taking just a screamer right to the neck. Oh, that's tough. They said he's conscious, alert, and responsive. Sent to the hospital and for further evaluation, but he's already on the IL with a shoulder impingement as well. Been traveling with the team, currently on a throwing program. Was not, you know, close to rejoining the active roster. He signed that 1-year contract worth $7 million in the offseason. He's allowed one run in four innings in his only start before going on the IL, 31 years young. And now that's scary, man, to get just blindsided by a ball right to the neck and then, again, just laying there on the field at PNC Park. Again, ambulances had to come and get him. Brewers taking it on the, I guess, elbow and neck yesterday. I was going to say chin, but that's the big concern about the Brewers. Like, what do you do with that starting pitching? Again, Freddie Peralta, awesome, amazing. Colin Ray's been great. And now you're left wondering, what the hell are the Brewers going to be doing here? And last night, you know, Joe Ross getting touched up. Brewers do fall. You know, it was Reese Hoskins with a homer. RBI a little later, too. Well, send was it Contreras home? But this Brewers team, I mean, you can win games, obviously, if the pitching's just good enough, just average, and they're, you know, bashing the ball, which they have in Murphy's Maulers, Murphy's Mashers. But you couple of, you know, leaving runners on base and then not being able to hit the ball too well, and then you're looking at the starting pitching like, right now enjoying the ride, though. Brewers back at it again today, tonight, against the Pirates. On Joe Ross, Pat Murphy was asked, should you have let Joe Ross in, Ross longer past the sixth inning last night? Here's Pat Murphy on that.
No. It's always what's best for the pitcher. You know, squeezing more out of somebody this early in the season isn't what we like to do. So that's why most relievers get a day. Not too many back-to-backs. When they are, they're both short. Yeah.
And then it comes into question to the bullpen, because the bullpen's been nice, but if it gets started to get taxed because these starting frontline pitchers can't go too long, then what happens with that bullpen? And then you're left wondering, you know, this pitching, you got to do something here. As that's the Brewers right now, I guess, Achilles heel, especially with these injuries compounding. Tough right now for the crew. But again, they just had a 4-game winning streak. They're 14-7, one of the best teams in the majors. Enjoy the ride while it's going down right now. All right, 608-321-1670. Kinger says, do you have any updates on Junis? No, it sounds like he's okay, but took him to the hospital. Mike and Porter said for precautionary imaging. Got some bruising, obviously. If you got a line right to the neck, you could... comes home with the wife, he's like, hey, what's that mark on your neck? Oh, honey, it's not a hickey. I got hit in the neck by a baseball. This is the one time where that excuse, I think, can play out, because he got video evidence of it. Like, hey, honey, listen, I can swear. Me and the boys weren't out doing anything nefarious in Pittsburgh. I swear, I got hit by a ball in the neck. This is the one time that excuse works, fellas. So, Jacob Junis, you got a pass right now. Literally, you can be like, here, look. Here's the video of the ambulance coming to get me, okay? This is the ambulance coming to get me. I swear it's not a hickey. I literally got hit in the neck by a ball.